Well, that's your own fault. You've got a green looking thing, isn't that breakfast?
That's a green thing. It's a frappuccino.
Oh, okay.
Why is it green?
Yeah,
it's
I assume
matcha.
There's no kale or something in there.
No, it's matcha.
St. Patrick's Day.
No, that's pretty old. This is my year-round drink.
Don't say matcha like we know what that means, by the way.
It's a tea. It's
matcha,
a green tea.
Matcha tea.
Yeah.
It's a powdered green tea.
I wanna be a matcha tea.
All right, welcome back.
Is that an actual song?
Macho Man by the Village People.
Oh, okay.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me, as always, Pastor Jim Bowser.
How are you, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still
oh,
you
gotta swallow faster.
You're drinking your tea.
You and your matcha.
Yeah. This is the same beats as always. Come
I was distracted because he was singing a Village People song, and I had several jokes in my head,
so
none of which were appropriate for the podcast.
So take a drink.
Yeah.
And down my jokes with the Village People, or with a matcha. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Or listeners, you can write in if you think you know what Village People song I was singing, along with our matcha tea conversation. Because I'm guessing Patrick cut that from the...
I might include it. Now, well, now I might have to include it. I probably would have cut it,
sorry.
But now we talk about it.
Now you can cut it, because now they have to guess which one it was. It's a little game. We have a prize for the winner. It's not going to be good, but
I'm
going to
tell you this. If you're like, what Village People song? There's basically two guesses.
Oh, that's true, because they're the only two that anybody
knows. I'd say three guesses.
Well, now I got to figure out what the third is. Oh, yeah, sure.
The third is in the Navy.
Yeah, third is in the Navy.
I don't get the joke, but...
That's because you don't love
in the
Village
Navy.
People.
You're so old.
I don't
sail the seven seas.
I don't think she didn't get it because she needed to hear the song sung. I don't
see it some more.
I don't know anymore. Yeah. All right. Let's get to our news. We're back not quite the Bible. We are talking about the Bible. We're back on Dante.
Seven deadly sins.
And I have a Dante hell themed news article.
Okay. Uh-oh. Love this.
Okay. First, do you know who Hieronymus Bosch is?
I absolutely do not. Did he invent the Bosch dishwashers?
That sounds Hieronymus, yeah.
Hieronymus.
Oh, yeah.
Hieronymus Bosch is a Dutch Renaissance painter.
I would have gotten there with...
I was thinking there was going to be something in the human body named after this person.
Sure.
You know, like...
I sprained my Hieronymus.
Sprained my Hieronymus Bosch, yeah. My anterior deltoid
Hieronymus. Yeah. It's the worst part of the Hieronymus.
I think right. They sometimes, you know, they do have to test you for check you for a Hieronymus when you get it for a physical.
What did this Dutch painter do, Patrick?
All right. Well, like most Dutch Renaissance painters, I suppose, you know, a lot of paintings of hell. You know, like
sure.
His most known painting, The Garden of Earthly Delights, is three folding panels
with
weird, wacky, and wonderful artistic descriptions that will really have you questioning about life and afterlife itself. So, basically, we've got in these three panels a imagery of heaven and hell.
Oh, okay. What's in the middle panel?
I don't know. You know, I don't. I could look at
it. Is that it right there?
Yeah, you got some image there. So, a lot of nudity.
Oh, well, sure. It is Renaissance.
Yeah.
There's a man doing a handstand with a tomato in between his legs.
Yeah, we don't need to go.
Yeah, let's not. Yeah.
Because that's not the part we want to get to. We want to get to the painting of hell, since we're talking about Dante's Inferno.
That wasn't hell.
Here, I'll show you the picture here.
Oh.
This is part of the picture. All right, so you see there is a man crushed by like a giant loot thing.
Yeah.
With just his butt sticking out.
Sure.
And like a toad demon looking thing has got like a forked chain link.
Where on
tongue.
Earth is this going? How is this a relevant news story?
I'm getting there.
Yeah, let's speed up the...
And it is branding this guy's butt music notes.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. He's got a music notes... on his butt.
Okay.
And for the first time ever.
We know what song it is?
They started to play the butt music.
What's it sound like, Patrick?
So this is, I got it queued up here. Are you ready for some butt music? Some tattooed butt music?
That was not it. Just to be.
So here we go. The first time ever
they've
decided, let's play that dude's butt tattoo.
It has lyrics?
Well, I don't know. This is
they're chanting.
A chant interpretation, you know.
I will say that's very holy sounding for butt music.
There you go. We got a minute.
I mean, how large was this guy's backside to have all, like, that was a lot of music.
You got
to
zoom in.
Yeah, that's true. It's really
it's real small. Yeah. Okay. I don't need to zoom in. That's okay. I trust
you. Are you sure?
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, look at that. Okay. Yeah. It's quite an image we got there. We got to make sure that safe search is turned on your phone from now on. We can't.
And this is the hell part of the painting?
Yes. Okay. Well, yeah, he's crushed and a demon frog with a chin.
But
like
everybody else around was like, hey, look at this guy's butt music. I don't know. They're like pointing at it.
You know, maybe that's the one delight you have at hell is when other people are being tortured.
People, yeah, like, ah,
you just get to watch. Yeah.
Frank got crushed by the loot today.
I think if you're in hell taking delight in other people's torture, maybe that's why you're in hell. I think
that's fair. Yeah, that's, I mean, you're already in hell. Right. Yeah. You know, you might
but, like, this wouldn't be funny if you just happened to cross it. Like, sure. I mean, look, let's be real.
I know it's all bad down here, but did you see?
Yeah.
And some dude, you know, his pants are down and he's got music notes tattooed across his booty.
Yeah.
And somebody's playing it. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's
I'm
pretty,
curious.
That's,
yeah. Yeah. Curiosity peaked.
Is that like what they do, like street music in like New Orleans or New York or something?
Right?
Like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the little kids with the drums?
Yeah. He's a busker.
A busker?
Yeah, that's what you call like somebody who's playing for music is busking.
What would be your hell butt music song?
No.
I want something real ominous, you know, like
I think for me it's Baby Shark is tattooed on my
butt.
Oh,
sure, yeah. That's a personal torture song. Yeah, right. I get that.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. You got anything else? What do you want? The ominous, you know?
Ominous butt music.
Yeah.
Heranius butt music.
Heranius. Yeah. Extraneous Heranius butt music. I don't know. Coming up blank on ominous tunes at the moment.
Sure.
You want Darth Vader's March? That's ominous.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is good.
Or
yeah,
the music
yeah.
from Jaws.
No, but I like the I like Darth Vader's March. I think it's good.
Sure.
So, you know, if you're in hell, you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
What if it was just the like first two notes of Jaws? So you never hear anything else except just the ba-dum. And so everywhere you go, they're just like walking behind
like
you going ba-dum.
Building up to
yeah.
it.
Sure.
It
yeah.
Never
it never comes.
Actually
yeah.
happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always build up.
All the anticipation that a shark could come and bite your butt music off.
Yeah.
But it never happens.
No. Not my notes.
So there you go.
Please,
for
dear God.
For the first time you heard it, it's been there for since the Renaissance era, I think from the 1500s, and now you heard Heranius Bosch's butt music.
Right.
Who's to say that no good ever came out of the Renaissance, right?
That's. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody said that.
Lots of people say that. Many people say
most people say all the good came out of the Renaissance.
Not this.
I don't know.
This did not make the list.
Many hundreds of years later, we are now hearing butt music.
Do you think they played it at the time? Do you think like at the time they're like
that was like a thing that they were playing? And he's
yeah.
like, oh my gosh, just get this
yeah,
out of my head.
That was like the
this is a real brain
jam.
Worm. Oh, it's always trapped in there. I can't get it out. I'm trying to go to bed. That's all I hear.
So I'm going
to
put it on this guy in hell.
Right. That was the crazy frog of the Renaissance.
Oh,
like,
that's a
hell
good
song.
That's a great butt music song.
I don't know crazy frog. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awful.
Okay.
One of my kids like
I'll
it
count
for
myself
a while
lucky.
On YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think Gangnam Style might also be.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
That's on there. Yeah,
sure. That's yeah. some good ones. All right, we've got some, you know, let us know.
Or don't.
Yeah, this is what I want to know. Yeah, maybe it's Macho Man. Or
sure, maybe.
Maybe it's
the village people.
People
yeah.
Macho Man, yeah.
All right, let's keep
oh,
on.
Oh, now we ruined our contest.
Well,
darn. Yeah. Looks like we have to keep the prize money.
Let's keep on descending into hell.
Yes.
Everybody.
This podcast has certainly become its own descent into hell. Let's all take that.
Patrick told me before we started recording that his new story was going to be about butts, and I said, "Great, spring it on him." don't tell David ahead of time.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. You guys are a joy.
Yeah, it is better than the other one that I told him that he should use.
Okay,
so
well that's good. Yeah,
you're
we
welcome.
Can,
yeah.
We can do that offline.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So where are we going next?
So
we were in lust.
So we've gone through two layers of hell. So layer one was limbo.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Breezed through limbo.
Yeah.
And then so we got through the second layer of hell,
mm-hmm.
lust.
Yes.
And now we're continuing with Dante down to the third layer.
Okay, so no more lust. Lust is not a problem.
Correct.
We're still following our tour guide who has a name.
Yes.
Virgil.
Virgil, yep.
Yeah, Virgil and Dante are still making their way. All right, so we're going second circle, the second main circle. It's the third actual level.
Third circle.
Third circle.
Because there are nine in Dante, right? There are nine. But there are seven deadly sins.
Correct. And like after this, it kind of diverges a little bit. So
Yeah. He adds a couple.
Yeah.
Two roads diverge into wood.
Yes.
Yeah. I took the one less traveled.
Straight to hell. All right. Seems like these days that's the one that's pretty frequented.
That's a
pretty straight and narrow road.
All right. So this level, the next level down is gluttony.
Okay.
So they say lust was the least problematic of the sins. So gluttony is now the second least problematic.
Okay.
And
interesting ranking of this, Dante. Yeah.
And so let's go through what Dante says and we'll talk about gluttony. So Alicia, what do you got for us?
Okay, so I have both a handy dandy infographic that I think is both cute and useful.
Very helpful for an audio medium.
Right. So I will refer you to that visually, listeners, if you want to Google literally Dante's Inferno infographic.
Okay.
You can find it. So we'll come back to that in a minute. But for gluttony, what we have is that gluttony was punished by being submerged in a river of foul, icy mud and freezing rain.
Foul, icy mud and freezing rain. Okay.
Yes. So also, face down, booties up.
Right.
Butt music.
Maybe. Dante did not get into it, but it could be. It's strongest possibility for butt music yet.
Okay, yeah.
It's a little bit of an uptick from, I don't know if you remember when we talked about lust, you're just like, there's a strong breeze, you're like getting blown around in
swirling it. Swirling around,
yeah. Yeah, so this gets a little bit more unpleasant, probably.
Yeah.
It's supposed to symbolize their overindulgence in food, drink, and other pleasures.
Because that's what a glutton does. They overindulge in things.
Apparently, yeah. I think in America, gluttony is a make-believe sin. I don't think we subscribe to that.
Well, I think it's still a real sin. I think we don't subscribe to it.
Really? We don't want to talk about that one. Yeah. And so each circle of hell has its own like kind of keeper or, I don't know, warden. And this one is Cerberus,
Warden of the North,
who is a three-headed dog.
Love that.
Yes.
Like in Harry Potter.
Our Greek mythology.
Fine.
Right. Or Harry Potter.
I don't think Dante was bringing the Harry Potter imagery back in.
Yeah. So Cerberus apparently also rips at their souls in addition to the face down booty up floating.
Oh, okay.
So that sounds worse to me than
you're
the
soulless
floating.
And you're face down
you ripped
in
the
mud.
Soul. So not soulless, but getting kind of. I don't know how long this goes on for. Like,
I mean, eternity, I assume.
Right, but correct. Does it restart every 24 hours?
Yeah,
it's complicated.
Once you've been ripped up.
Then what?
Does Cerberus come back?
Right.
And be like, hey, sorry guys, gotta stitch you back together.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the first head rips you up. The second head
stitches you back together. Yeah, sure. And then the third head
tells you bad jokes.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's a dog, so probably like she.
Yeah,
right. It's a terrible breath. Yeah. And then, of course, Dante always got to put somebody on blast for who's going to be in hell. This one's a little boring, I think, for a modern audience. It's a guy named Chaco.
Who's probably fictional.
Oh, so not even like a... Well, I mean, like half the people in Lust were fictional people.
But
so.
Like Dante invented
invents Chaco.
Yeah.
Some like
Florentine
Dante
couldn't come
guy.
Up with anybody that was like gluttony. Like in his entire world, like come on, I can like, name like 10 people right now. That's like
well, this is where I find the infographic to be a little bit more enlightening. So it looks like it was made on an original Nintendo for one thing.
Sure.
I
love that. Oh yeah, that's great. Yeah,
this is old school, and it has like characters in each one of the circles, so you can really get a feel for what this means. And in gluttony, there's not really any distinguishable characters, except that there's a bunch of guys with fast food t-shirts on. So that we have KFC.
On the infographic.
On
this
the
is
infographic.
Not a Dante's
no,
Inferno.
No, no, no. This is who in the 90s they filled Dante's Inferno with. And McDonald's.
Sure.
All fast food.
The fast food consumer.
And bad news. It looks like we have a ramen restaurant as well.
Oh, okay.
So that maybe gives you a picture of
three of those places relatively
right.
Yeah,
sometimes in one day
sure.
I've had ramen and KFC
so also
the same day.
In my research, the fake Chaco is from Florence.
Oh,
and so this is also a bit of a blast on the entire city of Florence.
Sure. Yeah.
They're
take
all
that.
Gluttons.
Take that, Florentinians.
Yeah, he's like, I've been to Florence, all of them
they
are
the worst.
Fatties.
Yeah. I think for modern audiences it's probably helpful to just clarify that, like, obesity is not gluttony, right?
Yeah.
Our understanding of this is very, like, gluttony is that over, you could be a very healthy person as far as, like, your physical appearance, right, or whatever.
Sure.
And still be, like, very much guilty of this sin of gluttony, just
right.
to be clear on that.
Well, there's a whole, like, Roman tradition at feasts where you, like, eat to the point of sickness and then make yourself
yeah.
throw up and then go back and eat some more
yeah.
and do it again and again and again. That probably
sure.
falls in line.
That, yeah, I think that would.
Yeah.
yeah.
I haven't been to a party like that. I don't know. If
yeah,
for,
at,
you
the,
have
at the vomitoriums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Let's talk about, you know, that's what Dante's got for the
mm-hmm.
gluttons in the next
gluttons.
Life. I think there's also, you could read it as like the mud that they are face down in is they're also eating it.
Because mm.
oh. yeah. Virgil feeds that mud to Cerberus to like calm him down a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
yeah just chill down, Cerberus. Eat,
right.
eat the mud.
Eat some mud.
eat some mud.
I thought
eat
Cerberus was supposed to be like eating the souls. Isn't he already like super chill eating the souls?
Well, because
well, the same
but
souls
they don't,
every day.
But they don't,
oh,
want,
sure.
they don't want Dante and Virgil to get eaten by Cerberus.
Okay.
You know?
So it's a hack? Is you can
yeah,
just
yeah.
like feed the. You know.
Feed, yeah, just feed
so
Cerberus.
So there you go. If
yeah.
you are find yourself in the third circle of hell, you know.
Feed the dog.
Throw some mud up and see
yeah.
what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to work, but like, look, it's better than just hanging, you know.
I'm just
going
to say, in Harry Potter, you just play a little music and Fluffy goes right to sleep.
Butt yeah. music.
Just, yeah.
That's true. We're all coming back to the butt music.
It's worth a shot. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so not only do you have your notes tattooed on your booty, now you got to
yeah.
learn how to play it.
Right? Or let
through
person,
your booty.
You know, the person behind you can play it. That's fine. Yeah.
It's a team effort.
Yeah,
right.
Everybody play the music of the person in front of you. It's
like bongos.
No, not like that. That's okay.
All right, so now let's go to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about gluttony?
Good segue.
Yeah.
yeah.
So,
real tight.
I'll say this. I could not think of or Google a story from
yeah.
the Bible that has to do with gluttony.
Yeah, I can get behind that. Yeah.
Like I, there's one character I think we've covered in the past on our interesting people in the Bible that is described as chubby.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the king of... a king that was killed.
Yeah,
oh,
so in the book of Judges.
Yeah,
yeah.
Book of Judges, yeah.
And he was not chubby.
Fat.
He was fat because
yeah.
the I mean the knife is like covered up under his fat after he.
Yeah.
You know, so that's not.
That's,
a,
yeah.
But
that's not
it.
Just pudgy.
Right.
That's all I've got. Like I don't
yeah.
have anybody else that kind of says any of those things.
Yeah.
So.
No one else is given that physical descriptor of being.
Yeah. yeah.
Like described as specifically
gluttonous. Or there's no story that's like
yeah.
they're over. So. But the Bible is definitely has things to say
yeah.
about gluttony.
Sure.
I just couldn't find a story. So
yeah.
I pulled one verse. This is from Ezekiel. This is the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and the needy.
Mm. Okay. So not sodomy or like or homosexuality.
Right.
But like,
yeah.
yeah.
And we you can look at our past podcasts when we
sure.
get through all the
just throwing it out
the
there.
Homosexual.
It's worth remembering, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
not that, but so the sin is overindulgence.
Overindulgence. Yeah. Arrogant and overfed. Yep.
That. All right. So Ezekiel's talking to us today.
Correct.
It's me specifically, apparently. That's
yeah. yeah.
Being a little called out.
He's saying, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, this is, I think, you know, the Bible does concerned if you are overeating or overindulging, especially at the expense of your neighbor.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
that's going to be looked at as a sin.
Yeah,
you know?
Paul certainly gets into this too when he talks in the letters to the Corinthians about how we celebrate the Lord's Supper and that there are people who are coming and kind of everybody. It was almost like a potluck, right? So everybody kind of brings their own food, and there are people who were there and were already fed and drunk before other people could even arrive. And Paul was like, "That's not cool. Like this is not what this is supposed
yeah.
to be about." So
sure,
yeah,
they got all those little thimbles and just shots.
Shots.
They
shot,
didn't do
shots.
It that way. All right, fine. That's whatever.
Booty music. Everybody shots.
God forgive us. This is, yeah.
All right, so on our last episode where we talked about Dante's Inferno,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned out of the seven deadly sins,
yeah.
this is the one I've never heard a sermon on.
Yeah,
I've never
sure.
mm-hmm.
been to a Bible study about. I've
mm-hmm.
never heard in really any way addressed by American Christianity.
Right.
Hmm.
Or maybe tangentially addressed, but never, like never, like this is one of the seven. Like it's
yeah.
never, it is clearly for American Protestantism, not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So I hear that, and I don't disagree. I'm just curious. Do you hear conversations or things about like consumerism or gluttony by other names?
Sure. I mean, like, consumerism is definitely a part of it, you know, and maybe like we have kind of like reframed it because talking about like overeating is a little too like we all got to look in the mirror.
Sure.
like, because like, you know, on our next one, greed, consumerism is going to be attached to that as well.
Yeah.
I do think it tends to just get lumped in with greed, right? Like it seems that like in a modern context that one kind of flows into the other a little bit because it's not just eating, right? Like for most of us, food is less of the scarce resource than it probably was at the time that this was penned. But there's so many ways that we stockpile resources.
Sure.
Right? That is not just stockpiling food so that our neighbors don't have access to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, like, I mean, there's the old TV trope of, you know, the kid who has to eat his dinner because there are starving kids in China, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever used to come up in sitcoms in the 90s, right? And while it's ridiculous in one sense, I mean, there's certainly a sense of, like, how much food do we throw away in our American consumerist culture? How much food do we throw away versus places where that food could go to use? And you know, there are various movements and efforts to change that, but I think our own personal habit is the only thing that's ever going to make a real difference.
Yeah. I think if you've ever, like, taking stock of like, okay, if I'm supposed to eat 2,000 calories a day, and then like, what does a meal at a restaurant equate actually to?
3,500.
Yeah, you're really gonna look like a meal that you would just order out is over 2,000 calories, and that's just the meal, like one meal, because we in America, I mean, are going to overfill our plates. You know, we're gonna eat more than we could. Or we should for our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's just the reality. So, you know, I think so. Maybe that's part of why we don't really talk about it in the church in America, because we're all this like nobody like who wants to listen to me like somebody be like, hey, gluttony's a sin. And like your pastor's overweight, like, you know, like, you know, like from them, like, you're like, yeah, we get it. You know, like, we're all there.
Gluttony's a sin. Now let's go to the potluck and fill up our plate. And
fried chicken lunch.
Tater tot casserole.
Yeah.
All right, anything else we want to say about gluttony?
I mean, it's not good.
Yeah. I do think that this overfed while your neighbor starves, that is something that we should look at in America.
Yeah.
And think through, like, how am I a part of this?
Yeah.
I think that there is a little bit of, like, a little bit of an edge has to be present to it for it to actually be gluttony, right? Because just eating a lot, I don't think really counts as gluttony, right?
Yeah.
I think there has to be that aspect of, like, I am taking more than what is a reasonable allotment for myself, and therefore others do not have access, right? Like, that to me is more at what the core of gluttony is than just, like, I ate 6 slices of pizza for Super Bowl Sunday, you know, and now I have a tummy ache.
Yeah. So, yeah, I maybe you've heard it. I heard a thing, like, there's kind of 2 kinds of people who go to, like, a pizza party, and you notice there's not enough pizza for everybody. One person will take 3 slices to make sure they get enough food, and one person will take 1 slice to make sure everyone gets some pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think gluttony is the person who's taking the 3 slices to make sure they are satisfied.
Yeah.
Like that, this is the sin. Like, I'm going to make sure I'm satisfied, especially at the expense of someone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so.
And so in that case, it might not even be overeating, but it's, you know, I'm protecting my own need, my own hunger at the expense of someone else.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep on journeying down to the 4th circle of hell.
Okay.
To greed.
Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Greed.
All right. At least pull up your little infographic.
Okay.
Tell us about greed.
Okay. So we're going to get to the infographic in a second. But those guilty of greed in Dante's world are divided into 2 groups, actually.
Oh,
so those
sub-circles.
Yes.
Okay.
Those who hoarded wealth and those who spent it excessively.
Oh, okay.
And one of those sounds way more fun than the other one to me.
Like, if you're going
to
be, if you're
going
greedy,
to hell no
right,
matter what.
Going to hell either way.
Spend it.
Spend it.
Yeah.
And so they are eternally punished by jousting with each other. But
like one side against the other? Like it's the spenders against the hoarders? Or just anybody unclear? Okay, that's
right. Maybe, I don't know. I'm sure they mix it up sometimes.
Okay.
They got a long time down there. But instead of like jousting poles What's the name?
A lance.
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 Yeah, that's what I was looking for. Yeah. They use big sacks of money as weapons.
So they like ride at each other and then whack each other with
yes,
the sack of
yes.
money.
And that represents their kind of constant pursuit of wealth.
So I'm just going to say.
And the emptiness it provides. Although, I think if you were spending excessively, you could buy a lance.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm with you on that. This sounds fun. I know, riding at somebody with a bag of money and then getting to knock each other off. Like,
I believe they are ultimately crushed by the weight of the gold.
Right.
Like okay. Well, sure. Buzzkill. That's
right.
Fine.
Eventually, though. Like, so for the first little bit, it's
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Who's our guardian of this section?
Pluto. Not a
not
planet.
Or the Mickey Mouse character, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Right, just
yeah.
the yellow dog.
Like, this dog only got one head. NBD.
Yeah. Right. And he's so friendly.
Pluto happened to be the god of wealth in Roman theology, though.
He had a really lamely small planet to be the god of wealth. Should have been better at
I know, right?
I'll say is now if you're going to this circle now, you could certainly taunt Pluto with, like, you're not even
you're
a
not
planet.
A
come
planet.
On, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
What
right.
do you know?
Yeah.
You're T90.
If you'd hoarded a little bit of this money, I bet you could have bought that. That's yeah.
I really enjoy Dante's sort of idea of who is in this one, because he pretty much calls out the whole Catholic Church and says the popes
love
and
that.
The cardinals
popes
are
and the cardinals.
In
okay.
hell for greed.
Okay,
which would have been kind of a spicy hot take at that point in time. I think maybe still is.
Remind us, roughly when was Dante being written?
Google it. I don't remember.
Right. I don't know.
Is he a contemporary of Bosch?
Herennius.
And I believe that the popes and cardinals are on the miserly side.
Yeah.
They're the
hoarders.
Yeah,
of
not
wealth.
The spenders.
Yes. Early 1300s, by the way.
Early 1300s.
So about 200 years before Luther was throwing down similar.
Sure.
Yeah.
Similar.
Tracks.
Yep. Yeah. So moving over to our infographic here. Or who might be in greed hell.
I got some ideas.
Yeah, we have Scrooge McDuck.
Aw, Scrooge, but true. I
he has a giant he has a giant pool filled with gold.
He does.
Right, and it's so we have on it's like there's a snowball fight going on, and on one side, I'm going to guess the hoarders are hiding behind rocks together. So there's a king. There's the guy with the cornucopia from, like, Greek mythology.
Bacchus,
yep. And then the Scrooge McDuck all on one side. And then we have the Real Housewives on the other side.
They're the spendthrifts.
Yeah, I
appreciate that.
So that's the, you know, 1990s interpretation.
Okay.
The other call out here is Dante's daddy is in this circle of hell.
Oh.
So, like, this is where he encounters his father. So all
right.
Well,
I don't know what side he's
out.
On, but, like, yeah. And one other fun little fact that I found in my research, they also encounter the Wheel of Fortune here in the circle of hell. Yes.
All
they
right.
play Wheel of... No, it's it symbolizes like wealth and the endless cycle of gains and losses.
Mm. Mm.
So I guess
gambling.
It's a Wheel of Fortune where you are rewarded or are lost, but everybody ultimately ends up losing. Like
sure.
It's like the house always wins.
Yeah,
right.
In the casino.
Hell
where
always
is Vanna
wins.
White? Is she there?
Probably.
I think
right.
so.
I'm Pat Sajak certainly is.
Yeah.
Pat Sajak and Vanna White are right there. You know, I'd like to buy an E.
That's right.
Like to well go for L.
I want all the E's. Can I buy every E that you
right.
have? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there is Dante's punishment for greed. And so these three represented the least deadly sins. Greed, gluttony, and lust.
Yeah.
And I think
all still deadly. Just
also deadly.
Right.
Yeah, but these
least
would be,
deadly still
be
dead.
Like
yeah.
The sins of like the flesh kind of
sure.
a thing.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
so they're the least bad. Of the
yeah.
of the seven,
mm-hmm.
the greed is kind of moving away from that a little bit. Like you start
yeah.
to get into more of like external stuff with greed than you do,
yeah.
Ish. I don't like it. Maybe if you very narrowly use Dante's thought process for lust and gluttony, right?
Yeah.
Then it's like
yeah,
all internal.
I mean, I think in a lot of ways, greed. Like again, the sin is not spending the money; it's spending the money at the expense of others. Is
right.
really where the tragedy
sure.
comes in.
Yeah.
So I think there is that element to it.
Yeah.
Or hoarding it
the
at
money,
this point.
Yeah.
yeah. At the expense
yeah.
of others. Yeah.
All right. So my Bible story about this one comes
we got
from
lots of places where the Bible talks
right.
about money.
Yeah.
I'm going to Acts chapter 5.
Oh, this is a great one.
And this is actually, I think.
I think we talked about this one on a, or I like maybe on an offhand mentioned it on a Weird Stories of the Bible recently. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the scary stories of the book.
It is. Yeah, it's great. And yeah, it's a good one.
Which one is it? I don't know. I don't have Acts chapter 5 memorized.
You'll recognize it when he tells you. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So it's about two people, Ananias and Sapphira.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. They sell a piece of property. And Ananias goes to Peter and the church and says, like, hey, we sold our property. Here's the money from the sale of the property. We want to donate it to this new Jesus movement.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter says, and this is Acts 5:3, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and you have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think doing such a thing? You have not just lied to human beings, but to God. Ananias heard this. He fell down and died.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And then the wife comes in.
Yeah.
And Peter's like, hey, what happened to the money?
I mean, they carry Ananias out first.
Yeah. But yeah, and Peter's like, hey, what's going on with the money that you sold for your prostitute? And she's like, yeah, here it all is. We're donating it to the church. And he's like, nah, liar. Again.
Yeah.
And then she falls down and dies. There you go.
Yeah. We talked about this just as like an offhand mention because it was like a bonus weird story in one of our episodes that we did while I think maybe Patrick's on parental leave or whatever. But one of the things that I love about this story is that Peter comes back and it's not about that they didn't give everything to the church. It's that they lied about what they were doing, that they tried to make it seem like they were doing more than they were. Yeah. And that's really like the heart of it. And so the greed, I think, is in a lot of ways, like, how can I look really great while still caring for my own needs and protecting myself first? I think that comes into play here.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, this is one of the scary stories of the Bible, mainly because, like, it's in the New Testament. You know, like,
sure.
Right.
You know, like, Old Testament God, like, it's weird, it's hard, but a lot of it is weird and hard.
Yeah.
You know, New Testament, hey, God's had a kid. He settled down a little bit. You know, like,
his family life.
Yeah. We all get it. Yeah. We settle down in our 30s, right? Like, yeah. But this is a hard story. Like, this is glimpse of more of that like vengeful or wrathful God that we kind of see more clearly in the Old Testament. We now are seeing this, you know, in light of Jesus. So this is a scary story. It can be a difficult one, I think, to process or kind of know what's going on. I appreciate the callback that Peter is this is what is happening. It's not about you didn't give us your money.
It was yours to do with what you wanted, but you've lied to the Holy Spirit.
It's that lie that this is what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still a difficult thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
There's plenty of verses about greed in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Lots to say about your money. Maybe the most to say about money.
Yep.
From the love of money is the root of all evil. And plenty of times the Bible will say, woe to you who are rich. I mean, even Jesus is going to woe the rich.
Yeah.
And James will say, like, hey, rich business owners, you're getting yours. Like,
yep.
I mean, basically, like, if you hold people, if you don't pay people, you're going to get paid back. Let me tell you, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one is definitely, this is probably the most we have to say so far.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, about like what's going on spiritually, what greed does to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think like it's not about being like financially comfortable, right? Like that doesn't seem to ever be what the target is with Jesus's sermons or Peter here, right? It's not about that. It's about like the excess of wealth, like the level of wealth and what you do with that. Like there's no ethical way to be excessively wealthy. You cannot get there without stepping on a bunch of other people, right?
Yeah. I think the challenge for particularly for us in the United States comes at what does comfort really mean?
Right.
Right. Like, and I think many of us are, certainly by the world standards, excessively wealthy. And so where does God's standards fall within the realm of the world standards, and how much of what we consider comforts are actually excess? Right?
Right.
I think that's the wrestling. And I'm not here to say like, oh, throw everything away and you know, go back to the land and live simply. Like, I appreciate my mattress. Right. I appreciate air conditioning. Yeah. Right. I'm all for these things. But we have to be aware of that and aware of the constant pull that it does have on our life. Whether we are constantly thinking like, how can I spend and save, like that might not be our mindset, but we are in an economic world, and so we are constantly in a place where we're faced with choices about how our money is being spent or saved.
Yeah.
Saved, yeah.
Yeah, I think that is the challenge, especially living in you know, so we look at like billionaires, and you think, obviously they have way too much.
Yeah. Right.
And like they are can only amass their wealth through exploiting those beneath them. But to people who are living on 30 cents a day can look at my lifestyle and my house and be like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like this is what you're, you know, you have all this and it's still not enough for you, that you still want more.
Yeah.
You know, and that's part of the challenge. You know, in many ways, being a middle class American, you're like, you're richer than kings from 500 years ago by having like running water and ice on demand.
Right.
You know, those things alone is like, wow, this is what a luxury that you have that
no
one has ever had, you know, historically. So.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be alive. I'm not mad at it. I think that there is kind of an inherent challenge there, right? And remembering to reach a hand back for people who are less fortunate than you. Yeah. Like, no matter kind of where you are, there's somebody who's less fortunate than you, right? And kind of keeping that mindset, it seems like it's helpful.
Yeah. So I read a thing that basically everyone in America, regardless of what like economic level you are at, when they think through like, what would I need to be happy? Like I'm obviously stressed and unhappy with the level of wealth and family that I have right now, but what would I need to take to like ease the tension of financial stress? And basically every economic level set would say something around like 10% more. If I only had 10% more than we have as a family, everything would kind of fall into place. Like our daycare would get, you know, we'd be able to pay for that or buy a new car or whatever. And I thought that's interesting, especially in light of like offering a tithe or giving to church or charity at that 10% level is like intentionally moving backwards.
Yeah.
And I think that that is kind of an interesting thing to kind of look at as like what the Jesus asks us is to intentionally move backwards. Like C.S. Lewis was asked, like, how much should you give to the poor? And his answer was like, more than you could afford. Like you get like you're giving to the poor to the point where like you're not going to see the movies you want to see or going out to eat as much as you want. And so it's not like I get everything I already want and whatever's left over,
I can give to the poor.
My life is substantially made worse because I'm giving.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good maybe a harder way to look at it, but an interesting way to kind of approach that.
Yeah. It is hard to learn to live below your means. Like we have such a push. I can't speak to other societies, but in ours, right, to live at or above our means, no matter what those means are. And so that kind of intentional step back, whether you do that because you're trying to give more away or even just to like get things back in line and get savings where you want them to be, that kind of stuff. It is hard to learn to do that. Like that's not, for whatever reason, we tend to expand to whatever level our means are. It's counterintuitive.
I think our first two levels are really hitting kind of like the pleasure center of your brain. Like what what's going to make you happy today? And these first three levels are like this. And like
salt, those, fat, acid, heat.
Butt music. Booty music. Shake your booty.
Right. You said that, not us.
I did.
That's true. There you go. So.
All right.
Yeah.
We're leaving them with butt music.
We're leaving with butt music. My butt music bill brings all the boys to hell, and they're
No.
Solid.
If anything, you should have gone with Bootylicious, but all right, that's fine. Yeah.
Bootylicious definition.
Yeah. All right. So, well, hey, if you enjoyed this conversation, God bless you.
Whoa. People are going to be like, this is a good one.
So Gluttony and Greed, we'll be back next month with the next two rings-ish, because we got, I think, a weird one in there, right?
Yeah,
well,
so,
he adds some.
So from here on, it doesn't quite
follow
click.
The pattern. Oh.
Like.
Okay.
So there are remaining four are Wrath, Envy, Pride, and what am I missing here?
Anger.
That was Wrath.
Well, but Dante separates them. He has heresy as well.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, the remaining four Seven Deadly Sins don't quite line up.
We'll figure it out.
What Dante is doing.
We're talking about next month.
We will figure it out. We will.
So you can write in today and let us know what song you would like tattooed on your backside if you were to have that done. Or, you know, other things that you want us to talk about in the future. Really, anything else, please. That'd be great. You can send it to BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You know, I think we did it. Another perfect episode. There are those who said we couldn't do 340 odd numbers in a row.
This is where I just cut you off in the middle of it.
We did it.
We did. Yeah.
340 straight perfect episodes.
Flawless record.
Okay. All right.